Morning.
Okay, this morning's reading is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 right to the end. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. For fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill your houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the end of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you have responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock you when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. They will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for the music, and thank you for the invitation, and thank you for the welcome back. Good morning, everybody. I've heard much talk about there being visitors and newcomers, so I think I'd better introduce myself. My name is Terry Boyle, and I work with a ministry called Insight for Living, and the bread and butter of our ministry is to teach the Bible on the radio. So we have a daily program that goes out during the week, and I host that program, and I also represent the ministry here in the UK and Europe. And the ministry is called Insight for Living, and it's the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. So that's what I do during the week. What I do at the weekends is preach and teach and travel up and down our region, bringing the Word of God to His people. And I'm looking at wisdom this morning. I don't know if that's just because I feel particularly foolish recently, but I'm looking at wisdom this morning. Has anybody, show of hands, anybody ever done anything really stupid, really dumb? Yeah. Oh, come on, Jenny. Come on. There's some people just sitting on their hands, refusing to take part. I think we can all own up to a little bit of folly in our lives. And wisdom is folly's antidote. Now, we've heard it read so nicely this morning, the whole introduction to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is an interesting kind of literature in our Bible. It's Usually, what we think of as a proverb is a little nugget of truth, something you can take away with you as a little life rule, like a stitch in time saves nine, or you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. All these little gems that we carry around with us, and we spout so freely when the situation is right, as if to sound wise. But in all honesty, I think there's a little bit of the fool in all of us, and I want to look at that a bit today. Now, we've read the whole thing, or we've heard the whole thing read. The introduction to the book of Proverbs is Solomon talking to his son and trying to introduce him to the idea that wisdom is something to be sought. Wisdom is something to be desired. Wisdom is how to live life skillfully, to live life well under God's view. In other words, in the light of God, how shall we live? What should be our priorities and our principles and our boundaries? And wisdom, with the understanding that God made us and He understands us better than we understand anything, wisdom is living out life in the fear of the Lord, as we just sang. And I need to talk about that just a minute, because chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord is tied up in knowing how to live well. Now, does that mean that we should be terrified of God? Is that sort of fear? No, it's not. The terror of the Lord is reserved for those who rebel against Him. But for those who count themselves as God's people, those who count themselves part of His community by virtue of His Son, Jesus Christ, and His work on the cross, for those of us who know God, then the fear of the Lord is a different thing. The fear of the Lord for those who are His friends is actually better translated as a healthy respect. It's taking Him seriously, taking Him at His word, the word that He's left for us to read. It's taking God more seriously than anything else. Because if He made everything else, then clearly He is more important, more significant, more powerful, and more knowledgeable than anything or anybody you might know. And so it's worth just keeping that in perspective. And it's that healthy perspective, that awesome reverence for God, that keeping Him as God and keeping us as humans, that is the appropriate fear of the Lord. Healthy respect, taking Him seriously, taking Him at His word. Well then, as we come to my passage today, beginning of verse 20, we see wisdom, this wisdom that comes from taking God seriously, we see her represented as a woman who is out and about in the streets and the towns, and she is offering to give of herself to those who would listen. Wisdom as a woman. Now, at the beginning, Solomon is saying, I'm talking to my son here. And, you know, what better way to keep a son's attention than to talk about women? So, women are represented in two contrasting characters in these first chapters of Proverbs. There is Lady Wisdom, who is, she's wise, that goes without saying, but she is winsome, and she is helpful, and she is edifying, and she is prosperous. She's built herself a nice mansion. And she's very, very desirable, the way Solomon paints her portrait. And then, of course, to contrast her, the other side of the coin is Madam Folly. And Folly is a temptress. Folly will get you in trouble quick, and you won't even know. And so Solomon wants to paint these two portraits in bright colors for his son to take in and consider. Lady Wisdom, alluring, desirable, lady folly, dangerous, dangerous, sensual. Those are the two contrasts that Solomon draws. Well, let's hear what wisdom has to say for herself, because actually as we meet her, she sounds a little bit ticked off. Nobody wants to tick the lady off, but she sounds annoyed. Listen at what she says. She calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. She's out and about in town, calling out to three kinds of people. Who are these three kinds of people? How long will you simpletons, you simple ones, love your simple ways? So she's crying out to the simple. How long will the mockers delight in mockery? She's crying out to the ones that are full of sarcasm and sneering at the idea of wisdom. And she's calling out to the fools. The fools hate knowledge. These three different kinds of people are the very sorts of people that need to pay attention to what wisdom has to say. And I think there's a little bit of all of these, the simpleton and the scornful mocker and the fool, there's a little bit of that left in each one of us. We might be redeemed. We might be co-heirs with Christ. We might be sons of God. But there's still the old habits of folly left clinging to us. Well, the simple. The Hebrew word is the petim. The simple, in verse 22, they are gullible, they are naive, they're ignorant, and what's more, they love the idea. They don't know. They know very little, and they're comfortable with that. You say to them, well, what do you know about God? Not much. Or what do you want to know about God? Not much. Or what do you know about your faith? Not much. Well, do you want to know anything about how your faith works, how it holds together, how it fits with the rest of the world? No, not really. Not interested. They're gullible because they don't know enough to know that they're being hoodwinked. When Madame Folly kicks into the scene a little bit later on in this opening few chapters of Proverbs, when folly kicks in, she starts out and she has got a target drawn on the simple. They are gullible. They're easily tempted. They're full of self-gratification and sensual pleasure. She appeals to them with sweet wine and dripping honey, stolen bread. It always tastes better when you've nicked it. They're gullible, they're ignorant, and they don't know much. Well, then there are the scornful, and these are the mocking people, the sarcastic people. They are sophisticated, and they love that. They think they know it all. If the simple doesn't know anything, then the scornful, the mocker, he thinks he knows it all, and therefore he is invincible. Invulnerable, but that's his very vulnerability. They think they're superior. They think they're smarter. They think they're funnier, and therefore they are privileged. The media is full of people like that. They don't give faith. They don't give integrity a second thought. They're far above that. They are advanced creatures. They are along in their thinking. They don't deal with primitive myths. The Dawkinses of this world. And dare I say it, the Stephen Fry's of this world. They love to make fun of people of faith. They are the mockers and the scornful. And they think that because they are so smart, so funny, that they are privileged and they are immune. to the concerns of faith. They think they know it all. Well, then we have the foolish, the fools. And this word is used a lot more in Proverbs than the other two, but the fool is like a catch-all term, if you will, but the fool here has a very particular characteristic. The fool takes a look at understanding, takes a look at knowing, takes a look at wisdom, and hates it. He doesn't like the idea that what wisdom has to offer might actually apply to him. He doesn't like the idea that he might at some time actually have to deal with God his creator, God his maker. He doesn't like the idea that he has to deal with God, and therefore he blocks it out. He blocks it out because if he allowed the idea that God was involved in his life and he had to deal with that, then that would block his own light. And he thinks he is a self-made man. Pulled himself up by the bootstraps, worked hard, fought hard for everything he's got. He doesn't need any help from anybody else. And therefore, he hates the idea. He spurns the idea that he's going to have to deal with matters of faith sometime. He would rather shut it out than deal with it. And that's foolishness. That's folly. Now, as I say, I think we've all got a little bit of the fool left in us. There are vestigial traits of folly still in us. Even though we're redeemed, and even though we are counted righteous and clean before God, we still do foolish things. Well, what are the consequences for folly? What are the consequences that are promised here by Lady Wisdom herself? In her own voice, using her own words, what does she say? If you'd responded to my rebuke, oh, so wisdom actually has the authority, the permission, if you will, to stop us in our tracks and tell us that's the wrong way. If you'd responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice, you see how stubborn folly is, how ingrained it is? Because you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh at your disaster. I will mock you when calamity overtakes you. I don't know if you ever felt like that, when life has taken a turn for the worse because of something silly that you did, something foolish that you did. And it seems like, okay, now in the whirlwind, now in the chaos, now in this storm that I'm having to walk through, where is wisdom to be found? How do I sort this out? Where is the right answer? Where do I go to for help now? Because it's all chaos around me. And it's like wisdom is standing off to one side saying, see, I warned you. Wisdom doesn't come and visit you in the midst of the storm. Wisdom is for gathering. Wisdom is for taking on board when you've got time to stop and think. And there is no time to stop and think when the storm is blowing. For wisdom to do her work, you have to have quiet. You have to have peace. You have to have a little bit of room to think things through. Because wisdom doesn't just come by rubbing a lucky rabbit's foot. Wisdom comes through prayer. It comes through contemplation. It comes through thinking through the storm. In the storm is no time to look for wisdom. In the storm, you need God's company. He will walk through the storm, as we've already talked about earlier this morning. He will walk through the storm with you. But that isn't the time when you need the wisdom. That's when you need the perseverance. It's either before the storm to avert it, or after the storm to sort it out and analyze it and understand it and make sense out of it. That's when you need wisdom. To get wisdom, you need a little time. You have to think things through. Wisdom is to be sought out before the disaster, and then wisdom is to be consolidated after the disaster, but in the disaster, it's as if wisdom is hiding her face from you. You just have to grit your teeth and push through, holding tight onto God's hand as you do, and then, as the storm passes, you look for wisdom. And you try to make sense out of what just happened. But here's the problem with the fool. They don't stop to do that. They don't stop to do that. Quite often, the fool will come through one storm, they'll get a little breathing space, and instead of saying to themselves, well, let me think through what went wrong there, they just make the same stupid decisions over again. And they walk through the same storm again. Well, that's not wisdom at work. That's insanity. That's just madness to think that you can get away with making the same stupid decisions over and over again and expect different results. Wisdom needs time. If you are not in the storm now, then this is the time that you need to be consolidating wisdom. If you're not in some sort of fiery trial right now, then this is the time that you need to be thinking through your priorities, thinking through your decision-making procedures, thinking through whether you are putting God front and center in all of your decisions. Do you really carry the fear of the Lord with you when you go through your life? It's all too easy to just go through life without a thought. And for people who do that, life quite often is just stumbling from one accident to the next, stumbling from one bad decision to the next, stumbling on from one failure to the next, and never learning anything from the past one. Never taking the time to sit down and think it through and say, is there something I could have done differently? Is there something I could have fixed before that broke? You see, I think of wisdom sometimes like preventive maintenance. And I have these images in my mind of times when I haven't been wise. And it always comes back to me in terms that are embarrassing and they make me squirm to say it. But here's one. Clean the battery terminals on your car on a warm, sunny day. Because it's easier to do it then than it is in the sleet at night outside the chip shop on the high street. Trust me, it's a lesson I've learned. Take my wisdom. Listen to me. You see what wisdom does? She shouts out experience and makes wisdom out of it. I'll tell you something else that you should do. Pay attention to the oil pressure warning light. Stop if the oil light comes on and don't assume that the car will get you to your destination with that light flashing in your face. It might get you around the corner, but it won't get the kids to school. Actually, that wasn't my mistake. That was my daughter. She made that mistake. The oil light was already on in the car when she fired it up to take her brother and sister to school. She thought it would get them there. It's only 15 miles. How much damage can you do in 15 miles? All of it. All the damage was done in 15 miles. That car never ran again. Here's another one. Don't leave the ladders in the back of your truck without a tie down to keep them in. I found that one out. Driving to Dallas one day, long straight highway. Very easy drive to get from our house to Dallas. It's one long straight road. But if you hit a pothole, then everything in the back of your truck bounces around. And if you hit a couple of potholes, then everything in the back of your truck eventually moves further towards the back. And eventually your ladders will fall out. And if you're really unlucky, like I was in my folly, then there'll be a Brinks armored security van following right behind you. And they have indestructible tires and they don't stop for anybody. So he ran right over my ladders and carried on past me with a vague gesture. I seem to remember him gesturing with his hand something. I'm not quite sure what it meant, but he drove on by, and my ladders were mangled. They looked like a shiny pretzel on the highway. I'll tell you one thing. I did get a little bit of wisdom from that, though, because I bought that ladder or those ladders from Sam's Club, which is a wholesale club in Dallas, and I found out that they had pitched them with such a discount that the ladder was worth more at the scrapyard than I'd paid for it. Now, if I really had learned wisdom on that day, then I would have gone straight to Sam's. I would have bought 50 sets of ladders and just mangled them and taken them to the scrapyard. But I didn't learn that much wisdom that day. See, here's what happens with wisdom. If you don't apply it first, if you haven't learned it first, then the disaster will come. And you don't have a chance to do wisdom again until after the disaster has passed. Because in the disaster, you're too busy taking care of the disaster to sit down quietly and think things through. My recommendation is to think it through before the disaster and not after. I've got a dear friend and colleague, and he talks occasionally about times in his life, in his ministry, when he's been away on ministry business, but he's traveled solo, and he's found himself in circumstances which could have basically wrecked his ministry. And he said, if I hadn't made my decisions ahead of time, if I hadn't set my priorities before the trip, if I hadn't found my wisdom before I'd traveled away for that weekend, then so many damaging things would have happened. He said, because temptation is everywhere. Temptation is all around us, and it's indiscriminate. It doesn't care whether you're a minister or not. He said, and if I hadn't set my priorities, and if I hadn't sought out wisdom before those trips, then I would have shipwrecked my marriage and my ministry for a few moments of pleasure. He's very honest about it. None of us goes through life without temptation. None of us goes through life without the opportunity to be stupid. But if you think wisdom through first, then you're much less likely to do something stupid second. Find wisdom. When wisdom is heeded, when we do listen to wisdom calling out in the busy streets, then quite often disaster isn't as likely. Doesn't mean it never happens, doesn't mean it never comes. But quite often, wisdom can avert the disaster. You can sidestep the disaster. You can actually lay plans that will completely make the disaster vanish. Put oil in the car, tie down the ladders. But sometimes disaster does happen. And when it does, when tragedy happens out of a clear blue sky, when that accident happens, when it comes, wisdom will always help you weather that storm. Because it's all tied up with the fear of the Lord, a healthy respect for God and His sovereignty and His will. So what's the remedy for folly? How do we root out this ingrained foolishness that we're all prone to? Well, the book of James says that wisdom is ours for the asking. For those who are in Christ and Paul says that in Christ we have the mind of Christ available to us. Wisdom is there for the asking. James 1, verses 5 to 8. Come with me there. I'll find the page for you and then we'll work it out. Hebrews, James. There we are. So if you're on the little blue Bibles, it's page 856. But we're in James chapter 1, and I'm just going to look at a few verses right at the beginning, verses 5 to 8. James writes this: If any of you lacks wisdom, I will take a show of hands. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. In other words, it's available for free if you just ask for it, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That's an interesting provision, isn't it, on that prayer for wisdom? What that tells me is that that prayer for wisdom, first of all, it's not a lucky rabbit's foot prayer. It's not keeping God in your back pocket for when life goes bad and just calling on him because that seems to be a helpful thing to do. There has to be a life of wisdom. It's not just carrying a lucky amulet with you. Faith in God is putting him first and foremost every breathing moment of your life. Am I living my life according to his will? Am I seeking out his wisdom? Am I doing this life on earth to the best of my ability according to the way he planned it for me? So you have to ask in faith. If you don't know what to do for the next step, if you don't know what to do to sort of process that last storm, if you don't know what to do to avert the upcoming storm that you can see brewing, go to God. But go to him in faith. Don't just try to sanctify your own opinions. Don't make your mind up first and say, this is what I'm going to do. Oh, I guess I'd better pray for God's help on that. Don't make your mind up first. If you're going to ask God for wisdom, then ask him and then shut up and listen. How many of you would go to somebody in town and ask for directions to the station and then walk away before they've started talking to you? How many of you would ask for direction and just ignore the answer? We don't do that, do we? But how often do we do it with God? I wonder. I wonder how often we have our own mind made up and then we just try to sanctify that by praying for God's help on it. That's a lucky rabbit's foot prayer. That's not looking to God for wisdom. That's looking for God to endorse your foolishness. Doesn't work that way. If you ask him, you have to stay around and wait for an answer. And quite often that answer will come quickly. Quite often you'll have to wrestle with your own opinions and your own directions. Sometimes you'll have to come to an awareness that God has been trying to get your attention for some time. It's happened with Rosie and myself, with different relationships and different storms and different difficulties we've been through. And we have thought that since we've considered ourselves to be in the right and wise, that it was the other person's fault. Turns out it wasn't. Turns out that when we finally let God speak to us, when we finally paid attention to what our conscience was telling us inside, when we finally let the Spirit work on our spirit, we came to the understanding that actually it was ourselves. We were wrong. We were being stubborn and foolish. And you know, that's the trouble with folly. Quite often you can be blind to your own. Oh, you're very aware of everybody else's. You're very aware, I mean, just point next door. You're very aware of his folly. You're very aware of her folly. But I don't see mine. No, my act is completely together. We don't look at ourselves enough through God's eyes. It's part of the fear of the Lord. Would you honestly ask someone for directions and not hang around to hear the answer? You would still be just as lost as you were before you asked. So when James says, pray to God and ask for wisdom for your life, ask God the questions, how do I live my life skillfully? How do I live my life elegantly under your blessing? How do I live my life according to your direction? How do I live my life in accordance with your will? Don't just walk away and start working at it. Sit down and listen for what he has to say. That's why wisdom takes time. In the storm, you're too busy. Before the storm is good. After the storm is good. In the storm, you won't have the chance to sit down and think quietly about what went wrong, what might go wrong, or what is wrong now. God is gracious, and he's long-suffering, and he's slow to anger and so quick to forgive. So when we have been foolish, it should be an easy thing to just step up to the throne of grace and say, God, I've been a fool. I've been a fool. Forgive me and give me wisdom. I want to know the right way forward. Lady Folly speaks about foolishness. Now, Lady Wisdom, I mean, speaks about foolishness leading to death. And it does in some circumstances. There are all sorts of people who've lost their lives in their folly. I'm not sure that that's all she's saying, though, because there are other things that die when we're foolish. Relationships die. Communities die. Families die when we're foolish. When we're blinkered to the fact that we might be at fault. When we're blind to the idea that it might be me who's done something stupid. Am I being stubborn and intractable? Have I pulled up the drawbridge and won't listen to other opinions anymore? Am I being blind to my own foolishness? Of course, the first blindness you have to overcome is the blindness to your sin. And Jesus takes care of that. Jesus Christ on the cross died so that your sins would no longer count against your account in the eyes of God. You have to overcome that one before any of this wisdom that I'm talking about starts to make sense. Jesus Christ died for your sins so that you might have the privilege of finding the fear of God and the wisdom that flows from it. The way to live a life skillfully. The way to live a life under his blessing. The way to live a life for his pleasure. The delight that comes from the community of faith. The surprises that come your way from entertaining angels once in a while. Love one another. Fear God. Because that is the beginning of wisdom. Pray with me, please. Our Father and our God, the mind of your Son, Jesus Christ, is available to us in him, and it's a mystery to those who are not in him. Help us, Lord, to avail ourselves of your wisdom. Help us, Lord, to be always ready and willing to ask you to plead for wisdom in every circumstance. We want to live our lives as a tribute to you, Lord, to your grace and mercy and power. Help us to do that. Help us to do it wisely and give us the wisdom that it takes to do it. We ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.